going to be ending my sermon series today on the Gospel of Mark. And so last week we were in Mark 16, verse 14. And this week we're in Mark 16, verse 15, looking together at this subject, our mission. It says, "And he," that's Jesus, "said to them," that's the disciples, "go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God has given every Christian a mission, and you can be involved in that mission through the ministries of First Baptist Church, and I'm going to show you how today. But first, we must unpack this verse, and we must see about our mission that, number one, it is about going. We read there in the very first words of Jesus, "Go." As a matter of fact, it reminds us of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all peoples." Actually, in the original language, it is "as you go." And so throughout your daily rounds of life, whether it's going to the mailbox, going to school, going to wherever you go in the normal routine of your day, as you are going, be mindful of the doors that God is opening before you to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting to see how Jesus also emphasized the going part of our mission in Acts 1:8, when he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and when he does, you will be my witnesses in four places: in Jerusalem," and remember, they were in Jerusalem at the time when Jesus gave this command. They were all gathered in the upper room, and he says, "So right here in this town, you're going to be my witnesses." And so if we make this application to where we are in Newnan, Georgia, when he says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem," we think of the first sphere of influence we have is right here in Newnan. I love how Russell Vineyard has led his class to be mission-minded, and they have an acronym that describes their purpose. It is the word "going." And each letter of that word stands for the local mission. It stands for Global Outreach in Newnan, Georgia. That's where God has called us to minister. And the world is coming to Newnan, Georgia. We are the 49th fastest growing county in the United States of America, Coweta County. And Coweta County is the 17th fastest growing county in the state of Georgia. God is bringing all kinds of people from everywhere imaginable to our county, and we are responsible for them, as we have the responsibility to go to them at school, at work, and wherever we find ourselves throughout the day. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. And so before we can have legitimacy in our outreach, as far as global outreach, we must make sure that we're taking care of that inner circle that we live in, our Jerusalem, Newnan. But the Acts 1:8 command of the Lord says that we'll not only be witnesses in Jerusalem, our Newnan, but that concentric circle goes out a little bit wider from Newnan when he says, "and in Judea." Judea would have been the province that Jerusalem was located in. And we think of it in terms of us living in the state of Georgia. And what a wonderful opportunity we have right here in the state of Georgia to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first year in 35 years that our senior high choir has not been able to make their tour. And they set up their tour based on this Acts 1:8 statement from Jesus: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so this last summer, we were supposed to be going in the state of Georgia. And so Lee has arranged it, had arranged it for us to go to the youth detention centers in the state of Georgia to bring the gospel message here in our Judea. I remember one of those recent tours to our youth detention centers, this one in Augusta. Our young people and their adult leaders went there, and they were told about one of the people that was living there, a 12-year-old boy who had murdered his parents. Boy, if anyone ever needed to hear the good news, if anyone ever needed to hear that Jesus loves you, it was that 12-year-old boy, already a hardened criminal. We have the responsibility to reach not only our Jerusalem, but our state, which is lost without Jesus. 7 million people in the state of Georgia, and 6 million of them are lost and going to hell. They are our responsibility. But not only does Acts 1:8 say that we should be witnesses in Jerusalem, our Noonan, and Judea, our state of Georgia, but Samaria. Samaria was a neighboring province to Judea. And so that concentric circle broadens out a little bit more beyond Jerusalem and Judea to the neighboring provinces, or in our case, neighboring states. And so we think in terms of North America. I had the privilege of just a few weeks ago meeting with one of our vice presidents from the North American Mission Board. He had come to Noonan and wanted to take me out to breakfast. And he said, the whole reason I've come down here to Noonan to take you out to breakfast is to let you know how grateful we are for First Baptist Noonan, Georgia, and you're being a pace setter in reaching North America with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called to my attention that in the midst of this pandemic and COVID, that we set the pace for giving beyond our goal of $20,000 to the North American Mission Annie Armstrong offering. And you might have noticed that the mask that I've been wearing today was given to me by the North American Mission Board. And on it, you can't read it from here, but it says, "Send Relief." If you had been in Atlanta in the last several days this week, you would have seen 18-wheelers with that statement on the tractor trailer, "Send Relief." And they were heading from North Atlanta out West I-20 towards the Gulf States to be your representatives in those places that have been torn and battered by the hurricane. There was food, there was clothes, there were supplies for cleanup on those tractor trailers. And I have been told by those that are on the ground in all of these places that we go, where there are disasters, that Southern Baptist, the North American Mission Board, are there even before the Red Cross. And so you are bringing light and the gospel as you offer the world a cup of cold water in one hand and the gospel in the other. And so we are to be going to our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria. But go on here and notice that the end of Acts 1:8 says that we are to go to the ends of the earth, Jerusalem, and then the wider concentric circle, Judea, our Georgia, Samaria, our neighboring states, North America, and the ends of the earth. And so our mission is not only going, it is global. And when we see that word or that phrase in verse 15, it says, go into all the world, into the entire planet. with the gospel message. And that is something that we take very seriously here at First Baptist Newnan. You know, every time you give an undesignated gift through the offering here at First Baptist Newnan, every time you drop a gift that's not designated out here in one of these mailboxes as you exit the building, or as you give online, or as you give by mailing in or dropping by your gift, you give 10% of that undesignated gift through the cooperative program to send the gospel message out globally to a lost and dying world. That is wonderful. 10% of all designated gifts here that you give goes to the mission that God has placed upon us, the responsibility that He has given to us globally. And added to that, every Christmas season we take up the Lottie Moon Mission Offering for International Missions. And this last year, you exceeded our goal to $45,000, so that supplements even further the 10% that we're giving every week through the cooperative program. But we don't stop there at First Baptist Church. At First Baptist, we also are supporting a work in one of the worst slums on the entire face of the globe. It is the Namatala slum in Mbale, Uganda, Africa. There, the Ebenezer Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist church that we are friends and sister churches with, we have given them the resources to build a bright and shining city right in the middle of that slum. We have built their church building, and it is beautiful. We have not completed that church building, but we are going to complete it this February. We have about $80,000 to $90,000 to go, and someone has generously challenged our church and said that they would match any gift we made toward the completion of that project up to $40,000. So if in this February we give $40,000 towards the completion of that mission project in the Namatala slum in Mbale, Uganda, Africa, they will match it $40,000, making $80,000 in the completion of that building where the gospel is being preached. As a matter of fact, the last time that we sent a team from Newnan to Ebenezer Baptist Church in Uganda, the gospel was preached in our own Minister of Young Adults and Education, Eric Marston, who gave the announcement this morning, baptized, now get this, he baptized 50 people. People who did not know Jesus, some of them former Muslims from the neighboring Kenya, who had drifted across the national line from Kenya to Uganda, came to the church that you built, heard the gospel, and responded to it in faith, and fulfilled the Great Commission, which says, as you go, make disciples of all peoples, red, yellow, black, and white, and then the next order of business is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, our mission is going. Our mission is global. But not only that, number three, our mission is gospel-driven. Read that last phrase here in Mark 16:15 with me. Matter of fact, read it all together. Go into all the world, and here's what I want you to see, and preach the gospel. The gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Literally, from the original language, the gospel is good news. And if our world ever needed good news, it is right now. In the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of COVID, where so many people have lost hope, so many have been driven to the floor in depression, with emotional distress, if the world ever needed to hear some good news, it's right now. And Paul defined for us what that good news is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. He says it has three components. He said the gospel is, number one, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. Now, good news isn't good news until you know the bad news. And the bad news is that without Jesus, we are all sinners. That's what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 continues with the bad news when it says, the wages of sin is death. That's talking about spiritual death. We're all going to die physically unless the Lord comes and takes out Christians while we're alive, but otherwise, we're all going to die a physical death. And so, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, three components to the gospel, and that is that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. Then he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. That is the good news, that Jesus defeated sin, death, and the grave. Tomorrow afternoon, I will stand at a graveside for one of our dear members, the members here since the late 70s, for Sarah Harrington. She passed away this last Thursday. She, in the declining years of her life, moved in with her daughter Sandy in Macon, Georgia. And being raised on a cotton farm and having a tremendous work ethic, Sarah said to Sandy, "What's my job here?" And Sandy, knowing how much she loved to garden, said, "Well, you can take care of the garden." And so she left immediately and went outside and started working on the garden. Well, this last Thursday, the Lord took her home. But when you read in the book of the Revelation, you see how beautiful it is. It reminds us of the Garden of Eden. And I would imagine that Sarah said to the Lord, "What's my job here?" He said, "Tend my garden." Just like Adam tended the garden in the Garden of Eden. And today, Sarah Harrington is more alive than any one of us sitting in this building, because she had given her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ when she was 15 years old. Can you remember a point in time when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Then you have the assurance that Jesus' resurrection was not wasted on you, that the gospel reached you just like it reached Sarah as a 15-year-old. I don't know who shared it with her, a mom or a dad, maybe a teacher, maybe a preacher, maybe a youth minister, a Sunday school teacher, I don't know, a coach, I don't know. But someone, and maybe a lot of someones, shared the good news, the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the scripture. This weekend, another one of our members, two of our members, Jan DeLashment and her daughter, Tara Lee Fowler, traveled to Mississippi with their families. And they laid to rest Jan's mother and Tara Lee's grandmother. But there's no doubt about where she is. They know that because of her faith in Jesus Christ, that she is alive, singing the praises of God around the throne of God right now. Which leads my question for this morning's sermon. Have you trusted Jesus? If you have not, you can today by simply praying. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. That's right. As I said before, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the price for your sin debt. So God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, and that we can answer the question that the choir put to us, and can it be that I could gain entrance into Christ's place, Christ's home, heaven. And we thank you that it's because of his shed blood that we can say, yes, it can be. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.